COVID-19 impact to business right now is definitely unprecedented. We'll be talking about why I think e-commerce is not only recession-proof, but going to be the first sector to recover via Amazon. This is the My Amazon Guy podcast, and this is your host, Stephen Pope. And first, let's look at some headlines here. So, market plunges as global recession appears almost inevitable. Corona Diary, we're looking at recession on par with the Depression. Honestly, that's just a depression. Coronavirus is our biggest economic threat since the Great Depression. It's time to summon our famed Blitz spirit. That was from The Sun. And I think the best article out in the last 24 hours probably comes from the New York Times. And I'm going to read a portion of it. They say, markets plunge as a global recession appears almost inevitable. The Federal Reserve committed hundreds of billions of dollars to steadying the financial market. What the article doesn't say is that's called quantitative easing. Honestly, it just means hyperinflation's coming. So this is a lot to take in today. If your business has less than 2 to 4 weeks of cash flow and you're trying to make payroll this month, you're probably going to fail. You're going to go under. Amazon businesses, meanwhile, are racking it in. This morning, I talked about how FBA, fulfilled by Amazon, is limiting inbound shipments just due to everything that's going on right now. And they're trying to get out regular health and home and good items to consumers, which are in very high demand right now. Not only have we seen the impacts to like Whole Foods, they haven't been able to keep up demand for pickup or store delivery. We've seen Amazon hiring 100,000 workers just to try and keep up with demand. Things are really crazy in all things related to what's going on in the world right now. So coronavirus or COVID-19 is absolutely decimating the economy. And I'm going to read parts of the New York Times article, and then I'm going to talk about what I would do if I was a business owner in your shoes right now. So it reads, financial markets imploded again on Monday as increasingly alarmed investors feared the global economy could experience a downturn rivaling the cataclysmic recession after the financial crisis a decade ago. And by the way, I think comparing to 2008 is probably not the right way to go. I think we should be comparing to the 1929 Great Depression, in my opinion. Way more comparables. 2008 was definitely a recession. I think we're heading into a depression right now. Even President Trump's boundless enthusiasm for the American economy has wilted in the face of what promises to be widespread economic slowdown, as he acknowledged on Monday that the country might be heading towards a recession. Cough, depression. The era of inevitable decline was palpable a day after the Federal Reserve unleashed a major effort to shore up market confidence. The S&P 500 plunged nearly 12% on Monday, the latest in a series of big drops since the pandemic knocked it from a record high and the worst one-day decline since 1987. There are a few historical parallels for the shockwaves created by the coronavirus pandemic, from still-closed factories in China where the outbreak first emerged. By the way, I speak to a team in China once a week. For the most part, most people in China are back to work, but we have seen probably about 10 million displaced workers over in China, which is pretty high. To Western nations where millions of people are living in a state of semi-house arrest, most of the engines that keep the global economy aloft have simultaneously sputtered to a halt. Some of the first snapshots to capture the gravity of the outbreak's effect on economic activity appeared on Monday, suggesting that industrial activity has fallen off both in parts of the United States and in China. Factory activity in China, the world's second largest economy, dropped 13.5% last month from February 2019. Fixed asset investment, which touches on construction of buildings, roads, and railways, was long the driver of Chinese growth, fell roughly 25%. And one of the first bits of data for American economic activity in March, a gauge for manufacturing activity in New York State, showed the worst one-month plunge in the index's history, falling to its lowest levels since 2009. Unfortunately, this is the new reality, economic analyst with the investment bank Jeffrey wrote. This report is a harbinger of what is to come. The forecast for growth that economists were making just a few weeks ago have been erased, replaced by penciled-in predictions of sharp contraction. Goldman Sachs analyst now expects the gross domestic product in the United States to contract at a 5% annual rate in the second quarter of 2020, what would be the steepest drop since late 2018. JP Morgan Chase Economics recently wrote that the coming collapse in consumer spending will pull first half growth into negative territory. But the continuing collapse in financial markets suggests that investors think the reality could be beyond the powers of central banks such as the Fed to stop. On Sunday, the Fed cut interest rates to nearly zero, pledged to buy hundreds of billions of dollars worth of government bonds and mortgage-backed securities with freshly created money. For the last decade, variations of such programs, known as quantitative easing, have set off huge rallies in stock markets and other risky assets as investors saw those efforts as a green light to take on bigger risks. All right, so on Saturday, we talked about how there was growing pressure over that one guy, Matt Coven, who was stockpiling 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. And the irony behind that, of course, was you got the government getting bailed out left and right, and you got healthcare prices and medicines being spiked and controlled by all these variety of players. Really, really ironic information kind of flying around right now. But, okay, so let's turn our attention to the economy and why I think Amazon is recession-proof. So, first of all, you're seeing Amazon's traffic is up like 350% right now. Now, there's no way to actually prove that number, but that's kind of what it feels like based on sales velocities that I've seen on my current clients. For those that don't know, I run a 65-client agency, and we have seen unprecedented demand on dozens of those accounts, beating out Christmas rush sales, big, big sales pushing right now. And so what I think is going to happen, and I don't have a crystal ball, so take it for what it's worth, but I think we're going to see an age of isolation in the next 2 months. I think it's going to be status. What we've seen happen in the last week, I think it's going to become the status quo for the next 2 months. I do not think that this is going to be a two-week quarantine, self-isolation, everything returns back to normal. In reality, China is still battling this coronavirus, COVID-19, right now, and they still have Wuhan and portions of that country under lockdown. So what this means is that's probably going to be the reality here in the United States. Most people still are not taking COVID-19 very seriously. They think everybody's overreacting. I think that will change this week. I think people will realize this is the new norm. And we're going to enter the greatest depression we've seen in 100 years. I think that this is a once-in-a-100-year event. And everybody and investors from everyone else has gone over to cash. So they've sold their stocks. They've sold their gold and silver precious metals. By the way, if we look at gold prices today, they're actually up, but they've been fluctuating quite a bit. They're up about $46 today, just hovering at $1,536 as of this moment. I do think gold will be at $2,000 by end of year. I do not understand why people are selling their metal right now. It would make a lot more sense if they were buying it. We'll see what happens there. Gold, of course, is the number one safe haven that people go to. Everybody's bought their toilet paper, but the new toilet paper is now bullets. So if you go over to websites that have bullets right now, like Lucky Gunner, and you try and go find some 9mm ammo, and there is literally nothing available. In fact, they've got a message saying, unfortunately, we don't currently have anything in stock. Anybody who had 9mm ammo has now raised their prices probably 80% week over week. And so after ammo is all hoarded this week and last week, we're going to see a lot of investors look at, okay, what else, where is safe to put your money, right? So gold will be the next thing, I think. So people who tried to put money into cash is not a safe haven. It's a short-term safe haven, but a long-term, not a safe haven, because you need enough cash to run payroll, and companies that don't have enough money to run their payroll in the next 30 days are going to go bankrupt, they're going to go under, they're going to shut their doors. But companies that have cash and have enough cash sitting around, or investors that have enough cash sitting around, they're going to wonder, maybe I should diversify my portfolio. Maybe I should put some money somewhere else besides sitting in the bank. And so what I think savvy investors are going to do in the next 15 to 60 days, I think they'll probably wait another couple weeks. But if I was an investor who had enough cash on hand and I was trying to figure out what to do with it, I'd probably go buy a business right now, specifically an e-commerce business. Maybe buy it from somebody that doesn't have the gumption to stick around during the really shaky ground that we're all on right now. But honestly, most e-commerce businesses are just crushing it right now. And demand is really, really high. And the businesses that are suffering are the salons, the retail stores. You're going to see a ton of retail store closures in the next 90 days. Unprecedented amount of retail stores close. And I don't necessarily understand it, right? So like if something like this could happen and we're going to see 2 weeks of bad inflicted buyer sentiment and all of a sudden we're seeing bankruptcies announced, it's because their books sucked before COVID, right? Airline industries, another great case example. You have Southwest Airlines, which has been running its business correctly and they have cash on hand. Then you compare it to something like Delta Airlines. Give me a break. I mean, Delta Airlines is asking for bailout money already. I mean, give me a break. That's ridiculous. Didn't you learn anything from 2008? Didn't all the bailouts we gave the banks and the airline industries in 2008 make a difference? No. Nobody learned their lesson. Nobody ever will. We really need to start running businesses a lot differently than they're currently operated from the New York Stock Exchange or otherwise. Can't just grow businesses. You gotta have profits. Gotta have cash on hand to operate. And if you don't have a reserve to deal with situations like this, then you're running your business into the ground inevitably when the black swan COVID-19 rears its head. So right now cash is king, but that's going to be a temporary thing. I think in the next 30 to 60 days we'll see a flight from cash into other assets, whether it's real estate, gold, bullets, which has already been done, and the next would be businesses. So I would be on the lookout to go buy up those businesses who don't have the gumption. Be the business, be that investor who does have that gumption, and go buy them when they're on fire sale in the next 60 days, especially a business that doesn't have a good Amazon plan, doesn't have the infrastructure in place to run it. Now, my agency, we have seen some sentiment buckle this week, but really nothing earth-shattering. There was a little bit of confusion with FBA's inbound shipments being shut down today until April 5th. But honestly, a lot of people just confused that with Prime or Amazon shutting down, and that wasn't the case. It was just Amazon pausing inbound shipments so that they could get household and regular items out, which are in super high demand, never been in this much demand ever before, unprecedented demand, which is why they're hiring 100,000 extra people to handle said demand. We're going to see businesses that do deliveries just spike in demand. Nobody wants to leave their house. They're going to hire other people to go make that happen. And God bless the workers, the UPS drivers and the hustlers of the world that deliver things to people. Every time the trash man comes to my house and picks up the trash, I literally say out loud, God bless the trash man. Because if we didn't have people who took trash away or delivered goods, I don't know what I would do. It would be an insane world. My prediction is that this year we're not going to see any major infrastructure fail. We're not going to see electricity go out. We're not going to see trash stop getting collected. And we're not going to see deliveries stop. We are going to see people stay in their homes. We are going to see businesses that would normally require foot traffic buckle. And we are going to see a lot of turmoil. A lot of people are going to be uncertain. And it's going to buckle investors. It's going to buckle investments. It's going to buckle payrolls. But things that require the demand of the core utilities are going to be just fine. And I think that we're going to see manufacturing come back to the States because, honestly, I would love to personally go invest in brass manufacturing right now. I would love to be building ammo because it's in super high demand. Don't know the first thing about that, but I would definitely love to go out and do that. but I'll be focused on my agency instead. We're taking care of clients right now. We're trying to figure out, you know, what maneuvers we need to make today to make every sale count. There are some things that, you know, we've done, like duplicating SKUs for merchant fulfilled so they're not coming out of FBA, to make sure everybody gets their sales. We're looking at pricing strategies to make sure we don't go out of stock. All of these things that we're looking at to make sure everything can go as smooth as possible. all right, so that's my message today. I appreciate you listening to the My Amazon Guy podcast. We'll continue to monitor this and see what happens. Please do share this with three other people who might appreciate it. I'm trying to get the word out. Definitely put my predictions on the table for where I think Amazon is going. This was Stephen Pope with the My Amazon Guy podcast.